I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root Artist feature. I'm speaking today with Kevin Bird. Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Glad to have you in, Kevin. And I'm very fascinated by your background. Help me understand the bridge for you between architecture and art direction.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe I should just give a quick, like, 3-second recap of kind
sure.
of where I came from and how I kind of landed where I am. I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina. I lived a little bit on down in Southeast Georgia. Came up to Atlanta to go to school for architecture because I found that my parents were not interested in sending me to a fine arts school. They wanted a vocation to kind of come out of that. So architecture became that perfect marriage between maybe the left and right brain. I had math skills and that sort of thing. But one of the things that I really loved about architecture was the problem spaces are huge. You're working with so many different dimensions, from the way that people move through space to the way that light works into a space to the engineering of the space to procession, color, sort of those phenomenological experiences. And when you're doing architecture, you're working on massive problem spaces. And what really I came out of that was a sense that multidisciplinary creation is really the future, where artists work with engineers, work with programmers, work with other types, musicians, with other types of creators, and not to use a buzzword, but that synergy helps to create something even greater than oneself, So I came out of architecture. I worked with a guy named Bill Carpenter out in Decatur, a former professor of mine. We started a architecture practice called Lightroom. We did a lot of modern homes and modern additions. A very exciting time. But ultimately, as a profession, it really wasn't something that I felt I could get to that next phase of raising a family and be able to support them and so forth. So I had picked up a lot of skills in graphic design and in branding and in photography. Using those, I kind of moved into, I worked over at Turner for a little bit under Adult Swim, doing some art direction, which is, it's very similar in that you're working with many different types of people and many different aspects to creation, and you're producing this, much like, I guess, a television producer or a film producer would do. So I've just found that a very exciting profession whenever I kind of put myself into that. I went over to Armchair Media in 2006 or 2007. With Stefan and Farbad and Mariel, we created a really incredible culture of creating amazing, innovative, interactive spaces. And what was interesting to me about the interactive space is that it was completely wide open. I mean, it's like the Wild West, like you can do anything, you can reach everyone, where, I had done a lot of print work beforehand, and it's kind of like, it's expensive, and yes, you create these really nice objects, but it doesn't have the reach, I think, that media has. And so that kind of, that's where my interest had lied. So I'm getting off track. So where did the question, so circle back to me on the question again so I can.
I think you answered it. I was asking you about going from architecture to art direction, but you mentioned something in your answer that I thought was very interesting. When you talked about these sort of, I guess, multidisciplinary teams, or this concept of having a lot of different types of creatives together in a space working on a problem and bringing that synergy together. So I wanted to get your perspective on what could and should businesses be doing to facilitate that even more so.
It's a good question. To me, it's becoming the norm. I think what was that book by Richard Florida, The Rise of the Creative Class, right? So we went through as professions, there was the factory worker or the organizational man from the 50s, 60s, and so forth. And then it became the time of the knowledge worker, right? The dentist or the lawyer or the accountant, right? Well, with the help of technology, a lot of those type of professions are being reduced to programs, right? So you've got TurboTax, or you've got you can get your incorporation signed up on the web by checking some boxes. So really, the next century, and Richard Florida kind of I think posited this, is really about the people that create, right? Create ideas, create things, innovate. And I think that influenced me early on to realize that, what was thought of as value, both economically, culturally, and socially, for the last century, that is shifting with this rise of the creative class. I mean, you see it, people no longer check in with a punch card when they're coming in to work. It's people kind of come and go as they please, because the creative process is always kind of happening, whether you're asleep or, you're having your morning coffee. So I'm getting off track here. I think the relationship to multidisciplinary design is that I just think that great things come from great minds all working together. And it's really what we're seeing is that people no longer work in silos anymore, that they are all sort of huddled around a table and working together in a way that's a little more organic and a little more free form. And to me, it's not just like everyone in a room and having a brainstorm session. It's that everyone's doing their work and pulling others in as they need their experiences. So my advice to, I guess, businesses is that, I think there are things that you can do to kind of, help to create that type of thing. I think it's about finding the right people from many different angles, like backgrounds and that sort of thing. But it's also creating space in which those things can blossom. So, I think, in the past 10 or 15 years, we've seen more open floor plans in the way that agencies and business sort of exist. Creating spaces in which creatives just enjoy to be there. I think, there's a number of companies in Atlanta that have done a great job at this. MailChimp is one of those. Armchair Media has done an amazing job at that. But you look at all of the agencies and the models in which they kind of create workspaces that, or even like the bigger Googles that really believe in the stoking the people and the minds that are within the company in a way that helps to grow them, but also that creates value.
Kevin, in your own career, since you've had a lot of really great experiences that have led you from one step to the next, can you talk about one or two decisions that you made that really had significant impact, where you could have gone left and you chose right, or vice versa? So can you identify one or two of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So to think about like one or two experiences that really changed me, I would say it was probably 2007 or 4 or 5 years ago. I was, we were taking a road trip across country, and I was, I had always had a disdain for art. As a designer, you're kind of more concerning yourself with, the value or the function of the things that you create, that this object, has a purpose. It's a can opener, or it's a it's a better chair, but function is always sort of part of that. And so my disdain for art was always it's kind of frivolous. There's novelty. What good is art, right? On this road trip, I wanted to stop at a number of different places. I had been, from my architecture background, a fan of an artist that had turned into an architect called Donald Judd. And in 1979, Judd would, with the help of the Artdia Foundation, bought some property out in West Texas. It used to be an old military base. And it was in a small town, sleepy town, with sort of like one flashing light. And he bought this, you know, 300 acres of space. And so you have this, you know, 60s minimalist artist in New York that's, you know, taking trips to Marfa to kind of escape the hustle and bustle of that. But doing art in a place that you wouldn't normally find, you know, contemporary work. So I kind of earmarked that as maybe we should sort of, as we're making this trip, maybe just stop into this small town and what's going on there. I think that was a very changing moment for me when I began to realize that art has an inherent value for social and cultural change, that its significance or its function, you know, coming from a designer or, you know, a chair, you sit on it. I think the function of art is maybe to sort of push boundaries, to think about ideas that aren't, don't have the constraints of I've got to fulfill this checklist of things. And that was really appealing to me. So the experience there was sort of, you know, the Chinati Foundation has this, it's a series of barracks. And, you know, Donald Judd's goal was to take installation art, which, as you might have known, you know, it's one of those things that is sort of a stack of candy in the corner of a museum, and it's there for a month, and then it's gone. Right. So his goal was to kind of create a more permanent home for a lot of his contemporaries. So like the John Chamberlains, the Dan Flavins, and to create sort of a space in which that work could exist forever. So the barracks had all been converted to these installation pieces, and it was sort of an inside-out walking tour of these spaces. But one of the other things that really interested me in Judd was he's a minimalist. He built furniture. He did architecture. So there was sort of like working with contractors and artisans to create bigger things, from land art to chairs or, you know, that sort of thing. I think that experience in Marfa kind of moved me in a way that, created a fire in my belly to that sort of was that inspiration point for that, to start to pursue art more seriously.
When do you know when innovation has happened?
It's a great question. I mean, innovation is a strange type of thing. I think in a business sense, it's very easy to say, that iPhone app is very innovative and that it's sort of breaking new grounds. It's innovative in a business sense, blah, 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 blah. I think for me, when I think innovation in art is a little bit different, right? So there's kind of two sides to art in my mind, right? You're really only in competition with yourself, right? You're just trying to make better art every time you make a new piece of art. At the same time, you're trying to find your voice or why you're doing your work, or what is your perspective? What are the types of things that you're pursuing? And for me, it's about sort of in that sense, you're trying to create original things that haven't been done, or things that can only be done at this very moment in time. That is very signifying to speaks to culture and that sort of thing. I think true innovation happens in a collaborative format. So I'm not really the proof in the pudding for that. You know, I think I really enjoy working with people from different backgrounds, and it's a different way of working, where if you're a singular artist, you're sort of only in your own mental space, and maybe innovation is about you're pushing your own boundaries to try something new or to try something that you haven't seen before or that within the context of the art world haven't been done. I think innovation in sort of the multidisciplinary approach is really much more fascinating because, and it's a different type of beast that you work with, you know. I'm having trouble like clarifying it for you. I don't have the exact answer, unfortunately. But I think in the at a gut level, innovation is also inspiring. Like it has these certain qualities to it. It's like, oh wow, I hadn't seen this done before, or I hadn't seen this this way of working, or I haven't seen this scale of something. And if you're creating inspiration for others, that impact, I think, is an maybe an adjective of innovation.
When are you at your best as an artist?
When am I at my best as an artist? Oh man. I don't know. I think might be for all artists, it's when you're uncomfortable with what you're doing, right? So it's for me, it's about breaking new ground. So it's about experimentation, right? It's about just kind of going for it, right? I'm generally at my best when I've ridden a bicycle in the morning, so I have some oxygen flowing through my head.
Right.
So at a personal level, you know, I feel like I'm a little smarter and a little more. I have more of those aha moments or those type of things. I think though, a lot of the times, you know, like the way I work is very incremental. I'm very interested in materiality. I'm interested in color. I'm interested in, you know, modernism. But materiality as its own thing in a pictorial sense is kind of where I situate myself, right? I'm not interested in narrative or metaphor within my work. So in my studio space, I work, I experiment quite a bit with you know, new materials or new ways of doing things, and I fail all the time. Like I come up with these awful, incredibly terrible experiments. These what I call study models, right? Where I try something. Well, what if I did this? Let me see what happens if I mix these two things together, or if I juxtapose these materials. And it's very different than working like an architect, maybe, where it's all about plan, and then you execute your plan, right? For me, the art, whenever I'm having flow, it's more that I am making art decisions while I'm making the work, evaluating and making at the same time, you know? And that's an exciting space to be in, because you're very much centered in the now and what's happening at that very moment. I find, like, whenever I surprise myself, that's where I'm like, wow, this really could be something greater. And then so it's like I incrementally try other things, and I'll go down a road and it's the wrong road and I hate it. And, you know, my wife always complains because I have I use every space of our walls to hang work and to position work, and half of it is terrible. And it's like I kind of want to sit with it for a while to see if it really sticks, or if it's just something kind of fleeting that is maybe trend, or maybe is not really something that will hold the test of time. Getting back to a little bit about innovation, I think not having fear to fail and to fail grandly is like you got to do it. Otherwise, I feel like I wouldn't evolve out of what I'm doing at this very moment. So, like when you take a look at my work, I'm just all over the freaking map, right? It's not as if I've focused on owls, and every one of my pieces has an owl head in it, right? And I've created a series, and it's all about the owls, whether it's a sculptural piece or a painting piece or whatever. It's more like I have these kernel of ideas, and so my work can be schizophrenic. I think it holds together a little bit with color, but my focus on materiality, you know, I think as an artist, I'm growing that way. And through the Walthall Fellowship, that really has helped me to kind of clarify what the hell am I doing? You know, I've got to be able to talk about work and talk about what I'm doing. You know, that gives you some moments of self-reflection. But like I said, when I'm at my best, I think I have, you know, biked the belt line in the morning, right? I have this sort of, you know, inherent energy. I'm happy that spring is upon us, so I can start engaging that a little bit more. But it really is happening in the moment of creation to me. Well, what if this is here and what if that is there? And it's like, sometimes I like to let the materials do the work. Like, there's a, architect named, Louis Kahn who, you know, had the perspective of you basically, work with all these materials, right? And you ask the material what it wants to be, right? So you, a brick, right? You ask the brick, you know, I'm not suggesting whispering to it or carrying it around in your backpack, but you know, the brick wants to be stacked, right? It's made for compression, right? So when you let the material do what it naturally wants to do, I like that serendipity of, allowing it to exist. So with a lot of the urethane drippings that I've been doing, it's very hard to control. This is, you know, it's like a resin. You've got two parts, you pour them together and then it hardens in, you know, in 2 minutes, right? So it just goes whoop. It's like a Harry Potter magic, right? Where like resins for like, you know, when I was doing surfboards, it's like the resin takes 24 hours to kind of sit, right? Well, this literally has a life and sort of 2 minutes where it flows and it moves and it has its own sort of living space. And then it freezes and that's its sort of death. If you've ever seen the original Clash of the Titans, it's sort of like that Medusa, you know, like, you know, statue making, I don't even know why I'm making a reference to that, but, so I kind of like that. I like putting things into action and then letting them be without trying to control them too much. Like that's kind of an interest to me. So like whenever I stack ice cream sandwiches and then just watch it melt and I don't know where it's going. I don't know if it's going to be awful. But I just let it be. And that's there's a zen-ness to that, that I, and to me, it's sort of about setting up, the rules or the scaffolding, right? And then the art creates itself within that scaffolding, you know? But, you know, I come from a design background, which also has heavy design thinking into it. So some of my work will sort of meander into those type of spaces. Yeah.
Well, Kevin Bird, mixed media artist and designer, let everyone know how they can learn more about your work.
So I'm Kevin Bird. You can find me on the web. I got kevinbird.com. My work is at work.kevinbird.com. And yeah, I'm sure you can find me on some social media outlets. Yeah.
Kevin, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.